Good evening. I'm going to say good evening. It's 5 to 7. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Tuesday, the 21st of June. Apologies, it's late. I had to take Izzy for further heart scannage today. Wait and see what's happened with that. I was out yesterday, so I didn't get to do a pod yesterday. I'm really busy tomorrow, so I'm not going to get to do one tomorrow. So I thought I'd get this out now because it's got the golf on it. I hope to do a mindset one Thursday, Friday. I'm just really busy at the minute trying to get all of the data up to date. I should have news by the end of this week for Ultimate members to renew. The first phase of that is existing members get to renew first, and then we'll move forward from there for new guys once we've seen what we've got available. So I'll hopefully have that next week. Do still keep the testimonials coming in. Remember, you get 2 entries into the £1,000 draw for a written testimonial on anything on FTS. It can just be this podcast, doesn't have to be paid products. You get 10 entries with a video one, just a literal 1 or 2 minute video, ftsincome.co.uk/testimonials. There's a sample on there from one of our superb FTS members. You can just literally copy what he does. There's some notes from Dave on how to do it. But the golf, and I've got a little treat for you this week because I couldn't sleep last night, so I did the European tour as well. So we've got the BMW International over in Munich, Germany, and we have got the Travelers Championship at TPC River Highlands over in the States in Connecticut. So I will start with America and then Europe. And I haven't done the top 10 in the betting at Europe, mainly because they're all pretty poor, to be honest. So I've done the top 6, but got some mentions a bit further down the field. If you're new to this, I run through my thoughts on it, run through my thoughts on the top players in the betting and anybody who I do. I don't personally bet pre-tournament. I wait until the tournament starts, see how people get on after round one, and then I enter then, and we have some very successful times trading. So 2 weeks ago we had the Canadian Open, and in that preview I said I didn't want to back Fitzpatrick that week. He was available at about 20. Going into that week, he was available at 20 for the Canadian Open, but 36 for the US Open. And I said I'd rather wait for near double the price the following week. Was more appealing. He opened up really nicely in Canada and then fell away. And that's kind of been the case for him over in the States. So that then led me to last week. He had shortened from 36 into 34, I think, for the US Open. But I said I just couldn't take that price because he has a bit of a squiggle against his name in getting it done over there. It just seemed in the US he just got himself in good positions and then threw in a bad round. And particularly in the USPGA, I just thought he was trying to hit the ball too hard, underclubbing. But boy, did he bury that on Sunday. I thought it was absolutely enthralling, the US Open, pretty much all 4 rounds. Came to down to the 2 of the main protagonists of the USPGA, Zalatoris and Fitzpatrick again. And Fitzpatrick winning by that shot. Just excellent, just absolute awesome class tee to green play on Sunday. Felt a bit sorry for Zalatoris, to be fair. He wobbled at the start, came back fantastically, and is now finished third in finished second in 3 majors. Only played 11. He's unbelievable that he's turns up. But it was the second one on the spin, having lost out on a playoff in the USPGA when Fitz faltered and Pereira messed up the last. Thomas done him in a playoff. But Fitz on Sunday hit 18 greens out of 17 out of 18 greens. Played genuinely, if you play the game, one of the finest shots you'll ever see up the last into the green. People were struggling to hit that green from the middle of the fairway, certainly getting it within 20 feet. And you're sort of up against an island in a bunker, 160 yards out, uphill. You've got to catch it absolutely perfectly and then get a better cut on it, get it to stop. It was an absolutely awesome golf shot. reminded me instantly of Sandy Lyle in 88 in the old club championships at the Garden Nursery in April 1988. But this was a proper major last week, riveting. And the fact that, I mean, Fitzpatrick won it. He was ranked 42 in putting for the week. An SG of only 0.06 on the field over the four rounds shows you how much better than everybody else he was ball striking. Zalatoris was plus 1.8 putting, as an example. McEnroy was 2.46. Scheffler had a good ball striking week, hold out a couple of times. His putting was 0.84. So Fitz was well behind these guys. But the golf, you know, give him full credit. You know, he topped the strokes gained in tee to green and around the green. He was second off the tee. Just fantastic, absolutely fantastic performance. Popular win. You know, he's a cracking lad when you listen to him speak. The golf guru actually put him up. Me saying I wouldn't back him pre-event. The golf guru did put him up for members. And as I say, we had a good week trading. I put Zalatoris in my four. You know, and after the first round, we had those four players. I secured 70%, saw plenty of greens from you guys, some around 40%, 50%, and a couple of you hung in longer and got well over 100%. So great stuff in all, but just a fantastic tournament. And this week we moved to a completely different test, much shorter, comparatively short TPC River Highlands for the Travellers Champs. 6,800 yards, par 70, tree lined, parkland, greens around 5,500 square feet. They're on a sandy base, so they drain well, but they can firm up if it's dry. They can get a bit fiery, but we look like seeing rain certainly for the first couple of days this week, so it may be soft. We could be a low under par, up sort of near the minus 20s this week. Approach play and putting, key metrics. You know, accuracy over distance off the tee. Fairways are an average of 37.8 yards wide, so they're pretty wide. Even Suggsy could hit a couple. Miss fairways, actually, if you're missing fairways, it accounts for 0.42 more shots on a hole than hitting the fairway. So hitting fairways is at a premium. Harris English won it last year. We've seen DJ win here when he was world number one. Bubba Watson's won twice. Spieth's won here. So you've got some good household names, and then scattered in amongst them, you've got Russell Knox, Chez Reavy, Kevin Streelman at much bigger prices winning. So it's a mixed bag of winners here. We've got a really good field this week. Really, you know, given it's a week after a major, we've got a good, decent field. McIlroy tops the betting at 12. As I say, led the putting last week, which, you know, can come as a surprise to some. He's been, historically, that's been his Achilles heel. He's worked hard. He's done some work with Brad Faxon on it. But his game struggled in drive and accuracy, and as such, then approach. If you're missing fairways last week, obviously it was a difficult test. So wider fairways this week will be a help. Not so punishable rough. He is playing well. He won in Canada 2 weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure he'll be up there wanting to keep his run of good form going. Scotty Scheffler's next 12.5, top player this lad is turning into. Missed out by one last week. Played 10 and 11 in 5 over par. Those two holes over the weekend went bogey, double bogey, then bogey, bogey, Saturday, Sunday. I expect he won't want to see either of those two holes in a long while. Personally, I hope they get back to Brookline as quickly as possible. Traded short odds on a couple of times. Sort of hit the ground running Saturday and Sunday to move in front, won two shots, and then as I say, that middle of the round killed him. But he's playing awesome at the minute, and it's hard, just the way he's playing, the stats, the numbers behind him, it's hard not to think that he will be in the mix. You've got to bear in mind he's second last week. He also lost in a playoff for the Charles Schwab, as well as having four wins this year. He's just streets ahead of anybody at the minute. Thomas, 15, didn't get it going to be in the mix last week. He's a fantastic player. and wedge play from the fairway this week, I think, will be key, with it being a bit shorter. The length these guys do hit it, I think he's right up there as probably the best wedge player on the tour. Great rhythm to how he hits his wedges. Nothing's rushed, nothing's snatched or speeded up. He is sixth in shots gained approach, third in tee to green. You know, I see a big week for JT, but I see all those three market principles up there this week. I don't think they're going to go away. Those three, I think they'll all be up there. I'm not saying they'd necessarily win, but I think they'll all be up there. Cantlay is next at 18. Coming back into a bit of form. He improved every round last week by a shot. He shot 72, 71, 70, 69 to finish tied 14. He could go well, but you know, his form dropped right off. Decent at the Memorial, where he's got a good record, third. I'd like to see him, certainly if I was pranking him pre-event, I'd like to see him deep in the mix before I started jumping on him. I find Burns is 23, and I struggle to see how he's priced bigger than Cantlay personally. His stats are better, recent finishes been solid. I fancied him to improve on the Sunday. He did fall away with a 76, but I think he was trying to force it to get the birdies to close the gap on the leaders. Played well the first three rounds. The guy's fourth in shots gained approach, fifth in greens in regulation, fourth in birdie average on the season, and I think you're going to see birdies this week. I'm certain he is a runner this week, and out of the top six in the betting at a price of 23, he is the one that appeals to me the most, Sam Burns. Xander Shuffle is 25, blah blah blah, rinse and repeat, not for me. The fact he's two ticks ahead of Burns is, yeah, no, put it in the bin. You lot carry on. You Shuffle lovers, you just keep on backing him. I doubt he'll ever be rewarded, but who knows. Sungjae Im is 30, missed the cut last week. Prior to that, being rock solid, he's top 20 or so. I think 21st was his worst finish 5 weeks running. Good couple of top 10s in there. Good solid player. Again, I wouldn't jump on, you know, one you'd look at in the top 10, top 20 markets, but certainly one I want to see how he starts in this field. And if he's up there, he tends to hang around, so I'd be on there. Spieth 32, nothing last week, and I just don't see it being his week. You've just got two parts of his game he's struggling: 129th in driving accuracy and 151st in padding, and I think you need them this week. Easy to put a line through. It's Jordan Spieth. He's a fantastic golfer, and if he started hot on Thursday with the putter, then you'd have a look and maybe trade him, but I honestly can't see him winning this week, personally. Whilst he has won here, it was back in 2017 when he went on to win the Open. He was on a completely different level of form at the time. And I think we're still a little bit away from that Jordan Spieth. But he's sort of the one golfer, I'd say, at the minute you couldn't write him off anything. We'll see how he goes. Neiman, 34, played all four rounds last week. Third round 76 done damage for him. Third at Memorial prior to that. He is a good player on tough courses. On a course 6,800 yards, a bit wider, potentially softer. He's not for this week, certainly not pre-event. He's another one. If he's up there, I'd jump on him, I think, you know, depending on the price. As he is, if he tends to get up the leaderboard, he tends to hang about when he gets going early. But certainly others prefer to. For me there, you know, I'd certainly rather have Burns on side, Scheffler on side, than Joachim Niemann this week. And then Keegan Bradley completes the top 10 at 34, a name we haven't really seen anywhere, but Keegan's on a bit of a resurgent career. Football stadium atmosphere prevailed on Saturday. He's a Boston lad, loves his Boston sport, and as he climbed up the leaderboard, they were shouting his name as he was walking up 18. As he got it to 2 under and was just a couple off the lead going into the final round. And it all got a bit much, and he opened up Sunday bogey, bogey, bogey. And I think that was that with regards to winning. He was playing with Rahm, which I don't think did him any favour. I mean, Rahm capitulated. I'll be honest, GG tipped Rahm up top 9. And when I saw Saturday night, I thought, well, that's done. That's in the bank. When I looked Sunday, I thought, if there's a man who's going to go on and win this, it was John Rahm. And just shows you, in betting, don't count your chickens. He was awful, capitulated a 12th. Rahm is no fun to play with when it's going wrong. He's not the best behaved on the golf course. And I'm sure that wouldn't have helped Keegan Bradley, but fair play to him. After those three birdies, he fought back to shoot only one over to be tied seventh. And he has been steadily improving. He's back in the top 50 in the world. This could suit him this week, this golf course. And the one squiggle for me is his putting style under pressure. And I think that's what happened with those bogeys early on. He just didn't even touch the hole. But he could be one that we look at to trade. I think he'll make a good account of himself. Would I put him up at a winner with that way that putter wand works? Not for me. But let's see how he starts. We may get a trade out of him. Let's have a look. And then outside the top 10, we got Tony Finau at 42. Missed the cut last week, 73, 72. Just never got going. Sprayed the driver a bit. But his form going into last week was really good. So I'm kind of willing to forgive it, because Brookline isn't for everyone. It is tough. I think 42 is a little bit big. If he starts well this week, I will be interested for sure, because I think Tony is getting back to being in the mix. Seamus Power, 50. Won the top 20 guy likes a lot. Power, he featured quite a bit. Played well last week, and I can see another good week this week. Tends to play well in streaks. He's 19th in birdies, which is good. 9th in greens in regulation. Does well on this type of golf course, not scared of going low. So Seamus Power at 50 is definitely one on the radar. Mito Pereira, again, similar price, around 50, 55. Needs to put his US PGA disappointment behind him, but he's played well since then, to be fair. And this is a course that could suit him. 10th in shots gained approach, 4 top 20s in his previous 4 starts before last week, before the US Open. And he missed the cut there, and again, but for the same reason of Finau, I can put a line through that. He's 12th in shots gained tee to green, 16th shots gained total. He is playing well, and you know, 55, 60 is too big for him. He was 60 the last time I looked. He was 55, then he went 60. He may well have gone back into 55 now, but it's too big, that price. Other mentions, Aaron Wise, poor weekend after 2 fine 68s last week. Game looks in really good shape, but just his putting, he's 109th in putting. He's a long putter, one he can't anchor it, so he sort of holds it away. So he's not one that I would dive into, but we'll see how he puts on Thursday. If he's up there, he may be a trader, because he is playing some really nice golf. And my flyer... I've got a flyer in each tournament this week, and there's a similar theme to both of them. Shez Reavy is the flyer, 270. He's a past winner here. He currently sits 4th in driving accuracy this year, so coming back to a course he'll have fond memories of. It's some fairways, and anything can happen. So Shez Reavy at 270 is this week's flyer in America. Over then to the BMW International Open, which is in Munich. One of the highlights of the European Tour, or the DP World Tour as it known now, and it returns to Golf Club München Elchenride in Germany, Eichenride there in Germany. 7,300 yards, par 72, traditionally low scores. I think we'll see some low scores, plenty of birdies, creeping bent grass greens, which were laid a few years back to USGA spec. I personally think that we'll see a top putter prevail this week. We have seen some big price winners here. Hovland won it last year as 13-2 favourite, but we've had winners at 100-1, 300-1, 80-1, 90-1 in the last 10 years. So it is a right royal mix and an open event. And for me, you know, it is an event I think you can turn up with a hot putter and win. I do think that approach and putting will be key here. Favourite is Billy Horschel, who crossed the ocean to win the BMW PGA at Wentworth. So travel and being out of the US is not a hindrance or unusual to him. He's in what I'd say is a patchy run of form. He was 68th at the PGA, he missed the cut the following week, then he walked, you know, ran away with the Memorial, played really well, handled it well, and then missed the cut again last week. He is 10th in shots gained putting. He's a good putter. I think he's rightly favourite here, looking at the state of the field. I'll see him making a good run at it, personally. I think Billy Hall, I think he's 15. And I see him making a decent run at this. Next up, we have the first of the live defectors, Louis Oosthuizen at 22. Everyone says pretty swing, this, that and the other. But when you look at Lee, he won the Open Championship, ran away with it, he got the best of the weather. But he's only ever won once on the PGA Tour. You know, he's had a load of runner-ups, he sort of questioned whether he can get it done. Don't dislike him, just I mean, fantastic golf swing, but we're obviously at a career heading into its highlight. He has gone off to the LIV. His best finish this year is 14th. He's 114th in putting. He's 144th in shots gained approach. Personally, I think he should be double the price, and I couldn't touch him with your money. I think it is a name thing that he's priced at 22. And then right behind him is the other LIV defector, Sergio Garcia, at 23 on the exchange. Again, just not playing well. 161st on the PGA Tour in shots gained approach, 53rd in putting. He was 74th and 50th in those stats last week, missing the cut. You know, he's a stalwart of the European Tour, stalwart of the Ryder Cup. Obviously, he had that outburst on the PGA Tour a few weeks back when he said, "I'll be glad when I'm off this tour." He has gone then and joined LIV. You know, who knows what's going to happen, and they're going to get questioned on it again this week. I'm sure, you know, they're sick of answering the questions about it, but just with all that going on, his current form at 23, easily passed over for me, easily passed over. No, much better than a lot of players in this field, but just not playing well. The next in the betting is Jordan Smith at 25, and it kind of sort of shows the gulf between the two tours, the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. And once you get past those three big names, if you like, Horschel, Oosthuizen and Garcia, two of whom I firmly believe are only up in the betting, owing to their name, based on the form. But the next guy's fourth in the betting, Jordan Smith, is ranked 126th in the world. He was 10th last time out of the Porsche European Open, which has been his best finish of the year. He ranks first on the European Tour for greens in reg, but then he ranks 139 for putts per green in regulation. There's only two things that cause that stat as a golfer. You're hitting the green, but you're hitting it flipping miles away. So you're getting it on, but you're hitting it 50 feet away. Or you're simply not much good at putting. And he is 102nd in strokes gained putting on the DP World Tour. Negative. So it is the latter. And it must be mind-numbing to top the greens in reg stats, be head of one stat, and then give it all away on the putting green. So again, for that reason, I couldn't back him pre-event. You know, I'd really need to see him with a hot putter on the Thursday to get involved. Thomas Peters is next at 26, dropped off the face of the earth, slowly coming back but not setting the world alight. Admirable mid-20s last week, couple of top 10s on the European Tour this year. Course should suit and he could go well here. He's second in shots gained total on the European Tour, but his putting has been horrific. 153rd in putts in greens and reg in Europe, minus 0.369 around to the field. You've got to seriously shape that up to win here. You know, they will be going low. You've got to be holding putts. So again, that's not one for me. Right, Ryan Fox, 28. Fantastic ball strike, and quite a few fancied him to go well last week. He's been playing okay, and people thought that Brookline might suit him. And he shot 74 in round one, and it was a bit too much to come back from. He struggled off the tee in round one, didn't play well in round one at all, to be fair, and putted okay in round two. But he's been missing fairways. He hit 42% last week, which is pretty much bang on which he's been doing in Europe. He's hit 41.45% in Europe, 164th in accuracy. Now, he's 164th in accuracy. He has gone on, and around that stat, he was second in the Dutch Open, second in the Sudau Open, eighth in the British Masters, ninth in Catalunya, 15th in the ISPS in Spain, and first in the Ras Al Khaimah Classic. Solid, solid record for a guy who cannot hit it on the golf course off the tee. And this week, I don't think that is going to be the highest, you know, priority in Germany. He's got to be a runner for me. He's got to be on my radar. He's probably the only one that I think I would back pre-event, other than Horschel maybe, if I was having a bet. I think this could set up for him, and I'd certainly much rather pay him, be involved with him than some of the other names I've mentioned. So that's the top six in the betting. As I say, only Fox and Horschel really of massive interest to me there. And then further down the betting, we've got Victor Perez. He's been hot form. Couldn't believe he was 40 on the exchange, first in the Dutch Open, third the week after in the European Open. Yeah, he missed the cut again last week in the US, but back in Europe where his putting's been improving those tournaments, I think he's a big runner this week. Victor Perez at 40. You got Bernd Wiesberger at 32. Arguably the classiest ball striker in the field, certainly up there. First in shots gained approach, ahead of players, you know, who've got qualifying rounds like Matt Wallace, Tommy Fleetwood. But he is stone cold last in shots gained putting, giving up 1.24 strokes to the field per round. I mean, it's just shocking. And if he's going to compete, I don't know, I think he should try perhaps putting left-handed if he's going to compete. You know, he's a fantastic player, Wiesberger, but with putting like that, you are really in trouble. Bit of a surprise to see Bob McIntyre at 40. I think that's a bit big. Not being brilliant, but 23rd at the Masters, 36th British Masters. Two good rounds in the first weekend of the USPGA, fell away over the weekend. And does seem to do better at the big events than the regular ones, and this is one of the bigger events on the DP. His stats aren't brilliant, but he's compared to this field, he's a bit different class to a lot of them. And I think if he starts well, you know, he could threaten here. So one on the radar. Pablo Larrazabal, another 40 with a squeak. Good form early part of the year, March, April, 15th in Qatar, then a win and 13th in Spain, his homeland. Did go over to the USPGA, shot a pair of 77s. Back in Europe, 6th in shots gained total, 4th in shots gained putting, which I think is a big stat this week. 70th in the official world golf rankings. I think, again, he's just way better than a lot of these. At 40s, at half reasonable price, so one to monitor if he starts well. Another one, if he tends to get up there, he's pretty good. You then got homeboy Kamer, live defector back in Germany, basically admitted that his game's falling apart in that live interview, and he's there for the money. But if he can produce, you know, he rarely does, but if he can, he's one to keep an eye on in Germany. He's a class player of the past, and if he does turn up with it, you know, that 85 may look a bit daft, but it's rightly priced at the minute. We'll just see how he goes. And another player on 85 is Haitong Lee. And he has been improving, he's capable of low numbers, he's been getting better. So he is one to keep an eye on. Had a few good rounds recently in Europe, so I think he might be a little sneaky one that might shoot up the leaderboard. Likes low scoring golf courses. You got Thomas Olesen and George Kurets, he's also better than most of these, that could be overpriced again around 85, 90. My flyer here is previous winner Andrea Pavan at 260. Again, similar to Chez Reavy. He's won here. I'm going with a return to a course he's won at, triggering a response. He's fourth in shots gained putting on the DP World Tour. So if he can tidy his game up, hit a few more greens and putt well to that number, he could just spring a surprise at a course he's won at. So that's the two events. As always, you know, I may have bets in both events. I'll post my trades Friday if any qualify, almost certainly in US. And we'll see who's in the mix in Europe and make a decision from there.